Welcome to Paint Ed. Hey, this is Chris Shank, the education guy at the Painting and Decorating Contractors of America. PDCA provides painting contractors with the training and networking they need to grow their business. To find out more, visit pdca.org. On this episode of Paint Ed, we have Nigel Costolo and Steve Skodak with us. Nigel is the owner at Catchlight Painting in the greater Boston area, and he is also the residing chair of the PDCA Board of Directors. Steve is the executive director here at PDCA National in St. Louis, Missouri. Steve and Nigel joined me on a podcast for a state of the industry discussion and to talk about how professional associations like PDCA are adapting to help painting contractors grow their business. It's nice to see the internal clockwork of people in leadership every once in a while because it inspires confidence that the industry and PDCA are headed in the right direction. Nigel and Steve, welcome to Paint Ed.
Glad to be here.
Ditto. Nice to talk with you, Chris.
Yeah, so, gentlemen, the coatings industry never sleeps. It is as true here as elsewhere that the only thing that doesn't change is change. But we have a couple of really sharp leaders at the helm of this association of professional painting contractors steering a pretty big ship. So how's that going for you?
We as staff get a wonderful chance to work with key volunteers, and having Nigel join us today is a great pleasure so that he gets a chance to share some of the items that are impacting the association and some of the moves that we're making to bring value and meaning to our membership.
Agreed. We have almost infinite opportunity in front of us, which is both a blessing and a curse. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit that has been ignored over the years, and it's our challenge, our opportunity to better leverage social media and every other avenue to reach out and touch as many painting contractors as we possibly can and let them know the resources PDCA can bring to bear to make their businesses more successful. We've laughed many times about the tagline of the PDCA in the past, which has been the best kept secret in the painting industry. We can't laugh about that anymore, right? This is serious. We have every opportunity now, and we have the means available to us through the work that you do, Chris, through social media, through your leadership, Steve, to really turn this ship around and make the association much more relevant, much more germane to every painting contractor that comes into contact with a paintbrush and a can of paint.
Absolutely. And I'll say this. I've said this before, but we really do. We have a couple of big brains at the helm. Truly, I've said this about Steve before, that he is the highest caliber executive I've ever worked with. And Nigel, anybody talking to you, they know that your vocabulary is going to hurt their brain really fast. I'm excited. I mean, there's a lot of confidence in the leadership we have here. And a lot of the other people who are on the board of directors are confidence-inspiring people as well. So it should be a really exciting perspective, I think, for people to see what's happening with PDCA. I hear a lot of good things. Steve, there are a lot of big changes that are impacting the painting industry as a whole, and you've been through different associations and different organizations, and you've seen some of that, and you've helped manage some of that change. Can you tell us a little bit about those changes that we're facing in the painting industry as a whole, but also how those changes will impact our association specifically?
Most organizations that are out there as far as trade associations were started in the late 1800s, typically after the introduction of the Department of Labor. When Department of Labor came into play, there were a lot of industries that said we really have to watch out for our own, and we have to have an offsetting presence. And so for an industrial age at that time, it was important for them to get together and be able to effectively communicate among large groups of people who may share a craft or a trade. And in the process of doing that, they set up a system that was made up of processes that developed over the next 100 years into what we know to be the trade associations today. But what happened is around the 1980s, 1990s, we started seeing a decline in involvement in those groups as we started seeing a 24-hour news cycle come on. We saw the introduction and widespread adoption of the internet and email, and suddenly folks had the ability through technological innovation to communicate with each other whenever they chose to and through a variety of means. And so today we can really talk to anybody anywhere in the world at no significant cost to us and be able to share ideas and thoughts on trades. And certainly we see the influence that our weekly Facebook Live pages have our Ask a Painter series, where we've partnered with Nick Slavic to bring Friday programs out to tradespeople. We see the influence those have worldwide. We've had instances, for example, with some of our social media where we've had over 100,000 views on those, with an awful lot of those coming from Brazil or Germany or Japan. So we see the impact that we can have by getting the right message out to folks. But the challenge that causes for associations is most of us are geared in a model that is still set up for the industrial age. Mm. And so the challenge we've had, and Nigel's been at the forefront of this, as has the rest of our board, as has an awful lot of folks within PDCA who have lent their opinions and direction, is that we have to make this an association that is primarily rooted in developing and implementing educational opportunities, as well as relieving some of the sore points that our contractors have out in the field, which the number one item that comes up consistently is a lack of ready workforce. And so we have to look at that and be an association that moves to the needs of the organization. So the member in front of us is the one that we work hard to satisfy. But what the industry as a whole is requesting now of associations is that we develop and implement education and standards for the entire industry. So in our case, we'd be looking at 150,000 paint contractors. And with 150,000 paint contractors, we should be delivering the education and standards that raises and elevates the industry. Our members, as a part of that, become the leaders within that 150,000, but it does not exclude us from serving the 150,000 to solely focus on delivering to the members particular information. So that's a challenge, and it can be trying for a member if they're accustomed to having a system, and we find this from a demographic standpoint, that members who came up in the trade association and have been a member for 30 or 40 years, we still want to honor that involvement and give them the experience that they've grown accustomed to and truly enjoy. But at the same time, we have to reach out to people who are new in the industry and reach them and teach them how to elevate their craft to a higher level and to put their business on a sound footing by exercising sound business practices and ethical practices.
You know, I always say that this association and associations like this is, you know, focused on the best of the best, but there's a journey. You know, when you realize that you need top-tier education and networking and support, we want to be a voice for the greater industry to know how to get there for sure. And so our voice is just being broadcast further and further, and we're taking into account the entire. And I love that you are universally minded as far as like bringing in the fuller picture. So Nigel, as chair, in the last year, you've done an amazing job, and I see a lot of that happening here at National. I think people have seen, you know, how that impacts local units, and we see how that's obviously impacting people who even non-members. But you've done an amazing job. We're excited about your leadership thus far and your leadership in the future. There are changes that are impacting us that Steve mentioned. What are some of those changes specifically that our leaders need to know about, that they are learning about, but they could maybe hear just from our chair what they need to know?
The hottest potato at the moment, Chris, is the change in the billing structure and the billing process that PDCA employees. We had heard critique in the past from unit executive directors who wanted to be able to offer reduced or discounted memberships during membership drives to try and induce new members to join the PDCA. Mm-hmm. And we were unable to make that available easily or quickly based on our use of technology here in the office. We also found that, in the words of a PDCA partner, joining the PDCA is akin to crawling through barbed wire, because we basically created barriers to membership. Mm. We had too many options, too many price points. We required people to join units at the local level, at the regional level, etc. And it became overwhelming, and we were losing people at that opportunity. We recognized the need to move away from that centralized billing model. Needless to say, that does cause some heartache for some people, because change does that in general. Mm. But the idea is to make PDCA a much more agile association. We should be able to capture someone who is visiting the website quickly and easily with a click, and we should be able to allow the units to do what they need to do to drive their own membership. We also find that membership at different levels is something we have not been able to honor well. There are some PDCA members, many of whom I know, who attend chapter meetings only and never show up for regional meetings, have never traveled to Expo or attended a forum event. Their focus is singularly local. We have now made available the opportunity to become a member at the local level only. Conversely, there are people who only come to Expo and do not attend any other events locally because there are no events held. And there are people who don't come to Expo but simply leverage the resources available online. So we're trying to satisfy that kind of tiered membership as effectively and efficiently as possible. And I believe I've come up with a good solution to that. If it turns out to be slightly clunky, then of course we can make changes as we need to. Needless to say, Steve has been really spearheading all of this and has taken criticism well, reflected on the feedback we've received. And I think we've come up with a new model that should be successful both for PDCA on the national level as well as at the unit and local level.
Well, I know adapting to change is always hard, and everybody has their own way of adapting, and there are always a proliferation of solutions, of potential models for solution anyway. And so it's sometimes hard to be the kind of leader who can take a certain direction and really say, hey, this is where we're all moving. Let's all get on board. Let's move in the same direction together. It's the only way to do it. It's unification is the only way. There's the struggles, I guess, of new birth sometimes, but we are excited to see very positive results. There is a lot of excitement in the air, and we see results happening right now. And some of the things I know, Steve, that we're working on here at National that we see immediate results from this is when we come out with the new Expo education, when we're working on industry standards and revising those. There's things that people have right now that kind of gives them an idea of where we're going in the future.
Sure, yeah. To my earlier comment about the need for ready labor force, we embarked this last year on developing an entry-level paint certification for a person who can come in essentially off the street and upon completion of the certification program be ready to generate revenue for a contractor. And so that means we're not trying to necessarily put them through a multi-year apprenticeship, but we're trying to get them into a position where they have the basic understanding of generating revenue for a contractor so that they can be put to work and then be brought into the system of that contractor's progressive education. At the same time, we understand that a critical portion of what we do is to educate the business owner, help them be more productive as an owner, and help them deal with some of the growing pains that come with scaling their business. And so we are working on scaling our accreditation process to be a more robust for the business owner. So we'll have the certification for the entry-level worker. We will have the accreditation for the business owner as far as showing that they have a code of ethics in play, which is agreeing to PDCA's code of ethics, that they're utilizing best practices for running their business, and that the likelihood of their business being sustainable is considerably higher. And those accredited workers then, or those accredited companies, then have the opportunity to promote that fact among their marketplace. And as we developed that, the immediate need came out that as we were developing an entry-level work program is that we also need a mechanism to get those interested in the trade. We all hear about the trade's skills gap. I know that Mike Rowe and This Old House and several of the other organizations out there have been getting the word out to a lot of people that there is this gap in America that is causing grief for people getting labor. And so we are one of the things that we did is moved our Education Foundation is moving from a trust setting to being a 501c3 full incorporated nonprofit. That will allow us to do more educational outreach in communities. And we've begun the work of creating a template that can be used in any community that would allow us to introduce our certification program into a nonprofit. So this would be a works program or a welfare to work or return to work program that are in places in a variety of communities, and we would give the option of someone going into the paint industry through one of our programs that we would set up with nonprofits within any given geographical area, and that we would raise money on our side to fund those programs to allow people to participate in those programs and introduce those people to the industry and prepare them for generating revenue for paint contractors in any community that would choose. So those are, that's going to be a key piece for us in 2018 will be to have this model honed. I know we're working with a group here called Mission St. Louis. They have a program where they get 22 to 35-year-old males back into the workforce. And we want to make sure that is a successful program. We can do it here locally, monitor it, and critique the program and set up the model that we can then roll out to the rest of the U.S. for partnership with other nonprofits. We also have found that the branding of the organization has been a little confusing to folks. And so we're in the process, and we'll roll out at the first of the year a new look for PDCA. So our new branding will encompass an outward-looking component that will be for the public that will better explain what we do within the industry space. We have taken our PDCA, what we consider it'll come up as a paint chip looking item, the PDCA, and we've added a descriptor next to it. And that descriptor will be Painting Contractors Association to give people a clear picture of who we are. So as you begin to see that, some folks, as we began going through test markets with it, said, oh, you changed the name of the organization. And we have not changed the name of the organization, but we are adding a descriptor in a lot of locations to help the general public understand who we are. Also, as we did community tests on our existing logos, there was a lot of various feedback that we were getting that showed that our logo and our branding package was not driving home any sense of who and what we do. So we're improving that. We're also restructuring the way that our contractor college works, and it will be coming out under an education center, and our education center will all be under the brand of Paint Ed. So as you begin to see all the education programs, our historical Paint Ed podcast will continue, but Paint Ed will take on the identification of the full education center. And so you'll see some consistent branding coming out with that as well. And we have some wonderful promotional opportunities out there through our partners that will allow us to get this brand out into a variety of places, touting to the industry as a whole that there are educational opportunities for them. We will have some of those items that will be at no cost to really anybody in the industry who wants to come in and take advantage of some of those. But then there will be a members-only content, which they will eventually have to. There will be a members-only area, which the folks coming in there will need to be members to get to the bulk of that.
Nigel, what else can we expect in the next year or two here at PDCA?
One of the changes that all members can expect to see is a 25% jump in membership dues. This will come as a surprise to a lot of people. I think a lot of people may not notice at all. I recall receiving a bill from PDCA for over $1,000 for the membership of my company, the PDCA, and the very next year the dues were dropped to, I believe, $199. And then was subsequently increased to $299. What we've understood, based on a very thorough audit of PDCA's financial performance over the last couple of years, is the numbers where they currently stand are not sustainable. So this 25% increase is going to make a lot more things possible. I'll let Steve touch a little bit upon his own understanding of the history of the dues structure of PDCA, and as well as how that relates to his own experience in the industry.
Certainly one of the challenges facing the association when I came on board was we had multiple years of sustained losses as an organization, actually going back almost 12 years. And financial viability was probably one of the key points to address right off the bat. And one of those is that we were charging less in membership currently than what we had been, say, 7 years ago. And so as we see a as we were seeing membership decline, we were also seeing a price drop at the same time, which kind of led to a perfect storm of losses and not a whole lot of scale back of expenditures. So we've been able to scale those expenditures back. We're able to set up a game plan that requires additional revenue as far as delivering product to the member, as far as educational opportunities and local access to those things. And within the industry as a whole, we're seeing a decline in membership virtually across the board. However, the associations that are diversifying the revenue streams, having them not solely be membership-based, but having them be, or not having them be solely membership-based, but having them have a membership component, having an education component, having a charitable outreach component, all of those things across the board diversify revenue and also increase the value of participation in the organization, because people want a charitable component. Gen X, millennials want that. We recently conducted a survey, and many of our leaders may have received this. And as we got the outcomes, I know as we looked at what PDCA benefits do you use most, we're talking standards came out as probably the number one thing, and publications and educational events came out as well. So those are areas that people who are our current members truly value, and we believe those are the things the industry as a whole would value, but we need to have different avenues that are financially viable for people to access those that may not come through the traditional member model.
Agreed. Let me just add something there, Steve. Thank you. We're increasing dues to the point where we are now approximately $1.10 per day for a membership, which I think is still an enormous bargain, given what our companies are spending on paint, donuts, coffee, you name it. I'd also like to add that one of the ways we increase value to non-members, but to partners, to sponsors, is by recognizing the purchasing power of our membership. So Steve and I were talking earlier, and we don't have exact data, unfortunately, because the surveys are not specific enough in the ask, but we'll be correcting that going forward. Our membership at around 1,300 has purchasing power between $500 million and $1 billion in paint and sundries, which is no small feat. So one of the ways that we can begin to improve value to the industry in general is to let potential and prospective partners know that we may be small in actual membership, but we actually have a pretty big bite and representation in the industry. I'd also note one other thing. If we dig down a little bit deeper into the survey results, Steve called out the stuff that really popped, which is the utilization and value of standards, contractor college. Just about all the people who took the time to respond personally as to why they enjoy membership in PDCA answered that it had to do with community and networking. And that community and that networking came from both the local level as well as the national level. And I know myself that the people that I call for assistance, for help, for advice, for counsel, sometimes for moral support when it's a bad day, are all PDCA members that I have known for over 10 years at this point. And that is a remarkable thing for an association to begin to cultivate. I think it's probably the unsung and unspoken true value of this association.
We also continue to find that the value of local contact for networking is something that cannot be replaced, that face-to-face time with each other locally. However, we find that at local events where competitors tend to be present, that there is more reluctance to talk about pain points that they're having as a contractor. So we find our regional and national events, as well as our peer-to-peer network that we have online and our roundtables, provide them an opportunity to talk about the things that are painful to them in the industry, the things that are causing challenges for them as a business owner, and getting that advice like Nigel talked about, where you're reaching out to somebody who you met at a conference who you discovered has a similar mindset to you, or going out to a group of people that you know do something exceptionally well in an area you're looking to expand into. And we've seen this translate even into people visiting each other's shops across the country to identify best practices and implement them in their own shops. And that's a value that we're not able to calculate on our side, but for our members, they find it to be absolutely priceless.
That's a good point. Steve, I'd like to circle back, if we can, almost to the beginning of the discussion we're having today. I ran into a member last week who heard about the change in the billing structure, and he said, so I understand that National is abandoning the councils.
Mm.
So somehow he had taken all that he had heard and interpreted it that way, and I advised him that no, that it was actually not happening.
Mm.
And I think, Steve, would be now is a good opportunity for you to reinforce the fact that PDCA is not turning its back on local or regional activity, but in fact is stepping up its game.
Absolutely.
To provide as much support as it possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point, Nigel. You know, there's an awful lot of good work going out there among chapters and councils where there is meaningful engagement, educational programs, and where people, like we mentioned earlier, have a long-standing history with that group. We certainly want to support that. And a big part of our support can be filling in some of those areas that are underserved and allowing us to go into communities now that may not be served by some of these robust chapters and councils and forums, and be able to supplement what it is our national members are receiving. The challenges in the past have been that as a local group struggles, and eventually if a chapter closes down, the process that was in place was you take that failed community as far as maintaining this separate nonprofit, and you folded them into the nearest town, which was also probably struggling. So now they had twice the territory and half the people working it, and that created some real problems. And some people have ended up, I know we have some councils out there that are serving four or five states, and they're physically located in one. So it becomes a bit of a challenge for them to reach out and get there. So we have developed and continue to develop options for educational programs that can be delivered anywhere to any number of people. We've also included a governance model that allows for advisory groups in smaller communities or even larger communities to come together for local meetings, and we can help schedule those. We can line them out and take care of the administrative work behind those and the registration, and also create a best practice event, because we know that a local event that is attractive to people has a social component, it has an educational component, and that it meets in a degree of frequency that meets that community's needs. And so we are working with local people in some of these communities that haven't had education programs in years to re-engage all the contractors in the area. Participants who come into the program may or may not be PDCA members, and the cost of the program is typically underwritten by somebody in the area or by PDCA. And there may be a fee for the event where a member has a benefit or not a benefit. But in these programs that we have implemented in these smaller communities with these volunteer groups who solely help us set up the calendar and tell us what types of items they would like to discuss, we're able to provide the educational program for them. And then once they actually come to the meeting, they have the chance to deliver a PDCA-developed educational program, and are able to network with the folks in their area without really having to focus on the fact that they're out there to get new members. But then for them to get the full benefits, for participants who come to those programs, begin to see that PDCA is the source for the standards for the education, they then have an opportunity to take advantage of other resources out there that PDCA has for them to see what is available, and then for them to eventually join or do a fee for service on some of the educational items.
Well, guys, I hear a lot of good thinking, a lot of smart moves. I mean, change is a fact of life, and change is upon us, and it moves pretty quickly, and we have to adapt or die. I mean, that's the law of nature. And you guys are doing an amazing job leading this whole evolution of our association so that we can adapt in the marketplace and in the painting industry. And so from my side, I'll just say, you know, I'm in content development and in education, and I'm just saying I hear a lot of excitement. We have a lot more people engaged and actually involved and not just sitting along the perimeters or in the fringes. We have just a lot of contractors who are really in this thing, and it's feeding the fire. And we see more and more people coming in, a lot of new members who have heard about us and heard from us and have used us, like whether they're listening to Paint Ed podcasts or been to events where they're saying, this is what I want more of. So we have the freemium stuff that's out there, kind of the stuff that you can just taste and then say, yeah, I want more of that. We have more of that happening. I'm looking at our 2018 education calendar, the online education that's going to be happening. And we have a business building series. Now we're going to have a lot of education that builds on the previous webinars, so they're not just standalones. We have more educators coming in all the time, more associates and partners who are excited to partner with us. And so we just see a frenzy of activity on this side. I see so much energy and optimism. This is awesome. So I hope that translates, and I hope that really is broadcast through these kinds of conversations that were happening, and people at the local level can hear it and can start seeing it, because we're seeing big change happening. It's exciting. So guys, great job. I think people are going to be excited to hear from you, and I think that helps build trust. I mean, I enjoy both of you so much. I love talking to you guys. I know people, as they get to know you, are excited to hear you talk about the changes that are coming. So thank you so much for communicating and being here on Paint Ed.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Happy Thanksgiving, both of you.
Paint Ed podcasts are a product of the Painting and Decorating Contractors of America. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PDCA, visit pdca.org. We'll see you next time. Your vocabulary is going to hurt their brain really fast.